I want to talk to you from the topic, return and build. I'm going to say that again. I want to talk to you from the topic, return and build. I have found right through the Bible, from beginning to end, that God constantly come every now and then and challenge His people to return to Him and to build. I don't know what it is in us, God's people, but we sometimes, or many other times, in seasons, lose our way, make other things more important than the house of God, the things of God. And then every now and then, God has to come and realign us with His mind, with what He wants. If you are going to be in church, in the same church for maybe a decade or so, you will find this occurring every now and then. You go through a building phase where everybody is building. We are like ants doing what we should do. We are busy. God's house is the most important thing. We live, breathe, eat, everything, church. And then we find ourselves moving away in aspects of life where things become more important than the house of God. And then it's almost like God has to come with a holy slap and bring us back, align us again, to get us back to focus on Him, to return our attention to Him and building His church. So hopefully I'm talking to the right people here today. Who of you are here today and you have a heart to honor God? Maybe there's people in the back, you're not sure why you're here. Hopefully you are here because you have a heart, because you want to honor God. Anybody here? Am I talking to the right people? Maybe you're here today because you have a heart to build God's house. You're not just a church goer or a pew warmer. You're actually a builder. You see, you have a heart to build God's house. Anybody here that falls into that category, you can put up your hand up high. Then maybe you are here today just because you love Jesus. Or hopefully you're here because you love Jesus. Now, maybe you're here because you love me as well, but it's more important to love Him. Okay, then fly. Now, I got hurt. You cut me deep here. But hopefully you are here because you love Jesus. And you are here because you love this church. Anybody that's in love with this church. All right, I'm speaking to the right people. Then this message is for you. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them it's for you. Find another one. Tell them it's you. Then slap yourself on your chest like King Kong and say, that's for me. This is for me. Every now and then, God comes among His people because God loves His people. And He comes and He commands us to return to Him and to build His house. I find a book in the Bible that is dedicated to this subject. A book that speaks about God sending a prophet among His people to realign the people's hearts with the mind of God. It's not the only prophet. But this prophet was sent by God because God divinely ordained His people to go back to Jerusalem for the sole purpose to build His temple. The people of Israel was taken captive to Babylon. They were in slavery for many, 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 many years. And then supernaturally God opened up for them to go back to Jerusalem, get free from slavery, but for the divine purpose of building the church, building His temple. Somehow something happened between God sending them and Haggai arriving. But Haggai had a message. Haggai was a prophet that only had a ministry of 4 months. But he had a profound message to the church. And I believe that some of you that's been with me for a time as your pastor have heard me speak a few years ago on this. But I believe that every now and then God will use a man of God to speak a certain message to His people, to get His people back to align their hearts and minds to what God wants, and to get them to refocus on God, return to Him, and to build His church. The prophet Haggai had the qualities of a good pastor. He was an encourager. Say amen. Amen. He was an encourager. I haven't said this in the earlier service, but I don't want to run myself ahead. But today, we as the church, we have a different mindset of encouragement. We want to come to church and we want to feel encouraged. And many times that feeling is a fleshly feeling. It's a worldly feeling. It's excitement that everything is going to be okay. My life is okay. And everything is going to be fine. The thing that you need to know about Haggai, he was this man sent by God. He had a ministry for 4 months. Many theologians described him as an encourager of the people of God. His name even meant festive. It's like your pastor, my birth name is Isaac. Isaac means the one that brings laughter. The one that brings laughter. Even though you will sit here and every Sunday don't think that I will bring laughter, that's what God calls me, the one that brings laughter. Then my African name is Tabu. I've got a black African name. Can you believe it? A white pastor brought up in an apartheid regime with a black name. Woo! Tabu means the one that brings joy. Woo! Mm. I can associate with Haggai. Haggai, whose name means festive, he, in his heart, all theologians through the church season looked at him and saw his message as an encouraging message to God's people. Stay with me. He was a man that was in tune with the people of God's hearts and the mind of God. He was in tune with the people's hearts and with the mind of God. In all that he said to God's people, the bottom line and the most important was the following: for them to know that God's presence is among them. His ministry started as he joined the exiles who had returned to Jerusalem from Babylon to rebuild God's temple. You see, the people was sent by God divinely to restore his temple. They started well. They built an altar. They offer freely the sacrifices. They laid the foundations of the temple, of the Lord's house. But suddenly something happened. When Haggai got there 16 years later, he found that there was no construction to the house of God any further than the foundations. You see, they did everything right. They started by building an altar. I said to you so many times, you need to build an altar of prayer, altar of praise, altar of sacrifice, altar of giving. There's 7 altars that you need to build. They did that. They started by freely giving the offerings every day, every morning, afternoon, and evening, which God required. Amen. They laid the foundation. And then life took over. Something happened that 16 years later, Haggai came and found the people of God not focusing on the divine calling. Amen. God sent his prophet back to his people. When you study the book of Haggai, you find that God had 3 major problems with his people. The book of Haggai is not a long book. It's only 2 chapters in your Bible. I suggest that you read the book. We're going to touch on a few topics today, but I am going to try to explain the whole book for you, what God is communicating to his people. The message that God communicated, the bottom line, the 3 problems, is universal to God's people in all times and all seasons. You are God's people here today. This message is for you. It goes from generation to generation. You find it everywhere in God's people. 3 major problems. God does not just find the problem in his people. God also gave them 3 solutions to the problem. You see, God is not out there to condemn you and make you feel like a fool. God is there to correct you, but God is not going to leave you empty-handed. God is always going to give you a solution. God is always going to tell you how to fix that what you are doing wrong or that what you ignorantly did wrong. He gave them 3 inspired solutions to their 3 problems. Now, problem number one. You need to understand this is an encouraging message from an encourager sent by God to his people. But he came and he identified, number one, the first problem, disinterest. He had three main problems. God found three main problems with his people. The number one was disinterest. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 to 15, we find it. Let's read this piece of scripture and then we go on. It says, in the first day of the sixth month of the second year, in the reign of King Darius of Persia, God's message was delivered by the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judea, Zerubbabel son of Zetil, and to the high priest Joshua son of Jehozadak. A message from God of the angel armies. The people procrastinate. Underline that. The people procrastinate. They say, this isn't the right time to rebuild my temple. Underline that. The temple of God. Shortly after that, God said more and Haggai spoke it. How is it that it is time or the right time for you to live in your fine new homes while the home, God's temple, is in ruins? I want you to think or focus on three things there. God is speaking, or four things. God is speaking. Number one, he says the people are procrastinating. Number two, the people are saying in their hearts or saying it out loud, it ain't the right time for me to get involved and build. And the third thing is the people are what? The people are living in luxury while the house of God is in ruins. And then a little later, God of the angel army spoke out again. Take a good, hard look at your life. Think it over. You have spent a lot of money, but you haven't much to show for it. You keep filling your plates, but you never get filled up. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking, but you are always thirsty. You put on layer after layer of clothes, but you can't get warm. And the people who work for you, what are they getting out of it? Not much. A leaky, rusted old bucket, that's what. That's why God of the angel army said, take a good, hard look at your life. Think it over. Then God said, here's what I want you to do. Climb into the hills and cut some timber. Bring it down and rebuild my temple. Do it just for me. Honor me. How many times have you heard me say as your pastor that whatever you do in this church, packing up, packing down, singing, giving, doing it, do it unto Jesus. Stay with me. Honor me. You see, it's about honor. You've had great ambitions for yourselves, but nothing has come of it. The little you have brought to my temple, I've blown away. There was nothing to it. And why? This is a message from God of the angel armies, remember. Church, you need to listen. God had to repeat him few times to bring it across to the people that it is not Haggai speaking to them, but it is God speaking to them. Some of you need to realize today that it is not Tabu speaking to you, but it's God's message speaking to you. Because if you're going to think it's me, you're going to think I want something for you. I don't want anything from you. I just want to get this message that's pressed on my heart from God to you. God reminded them over and over. It's the God of angel armies that's speaking. It says, because you've run around, caught up with taking care of your own houses, my house is in ruins. That's why. Because of your stinginess. And so I have given you a dry summer and a skimpy crop. I've matched your tight-fisted stinginess by declaring a season of drought, drying up fields and hills, withering gardens and orchards, stunting vegetables and fruit, nothing. No man or woman, not animal or crop, is going to thrive. Let me just tell you here that no church can allow a people with stingy hearts. The moment God's people become stingy, God sends the drought. It might be raining in Canary Wharf, but it's drought in our lives. Because God looks at our hearts. Stay with me. Here we find God bringing three accusations, not telling us the problem. He's bringing three accusations for the number one problem of disinterest. Remember, God is giving his people three major problems. We are looking at problem number one. But in here, we find God accusing his people of three things that is the cause of disinterest. Number one, the people procrastinate. Am I talking to a church that is here to hear the word of the Lord? What does it mean to procrastinate? It means the following: to defer action, delay. Pastor Tabu comes to you and says, listen, God has spoken that we need to raise £7 million in the next 7 years for the building that God wants for this church. Amen. Then every year, people delay. They procrastinate to bring what God told them to bring. They are excited to make an offering, but they're not so excited to fulfill that what they pledged to the Lord. Yeah. Another form of procrastination is the following. God tells you to get involved. God told you 3 months ago to get involved. Pastor asked you, why are you not involved yet? Why are you not serving in the house of God? Oh, no, I'm praying about it. No, you are procrastinating. Amen. There's many forms of procrastination in the church. These are just a few examples of procrastination. God has told some of you 3 months ago or 6 months ago already or a year ago already, start honoring me with your giving, your first fruits, put me first. No, I haven't got the revelation yet. I don't feel like giving yet. You see, what's going to happen is if you don't watch out for these three accusations, which procrastination is number one, later you will find a heart that is disinterest when it comes to building God's house. Procrastination means to put off till another day or time. Suddenly I can feel how it just comes upon quietness. The second accusation, is that the people have said that it is not yet time to build God's house. God tells you, through a pastor, get involved, serve. 3 months later, you're still not involved. Oh, you know, I've been involved in the church for so many years, you know. I just need to take a sabbatical. I just need to rest a little bit, you know. The pastor comes to you and tells you, hey, get involved. You need to rebuild, become a leader again, get involved again, change winning souls. Yeah, 6 months later, a year later, nah, you know, I haven't felt like that yet. You know, my business is calling, I have kids now. Just tell somebody it is tight, but it's right. The third accusation is the following. Why are you living in luxury while my house is in ruins? You sit here today and you say, Pastor, but I don't live in luxury. Let me just tell you, living in this country, and even living on the street in this country is luxury. When you look at the scope of the world, you and I fall into the 10 to 5% of the population of this world that are living in luxury. And I mean extreme luxury. Let me ask, who of you came today and you had a shower this morning? Oh, no. Let's in the last 3 days, or a bath. You had a shower or a bath in the last 3 days. Put up your hand. Hey, bro, did you shower or bath? Yeah, but just put it up. Yeah, yeah. If you showered and bathed, just put up your hand. Did you use a tap? When you turned the tap, did water come out? Amen. You are living in extreme luxury. So this message is for you. Yes. It's not for a guy that needs to walk 10 k's to get water out of a filthy stream, yes, then go and heat it up to clear it, to drink it, or then even to bath in it. Yes. He's not talking to those people. He's talking to ones who's living in luxury. This message is not for CRC in whatever country where people don't have the privileges. This message is for you and me. Three accusations. Why they have disinterest hearts. Number one, they are procrastinating. Number two, they are keeping finding excuses not to rebuild. The focus is not on building. The focus is on rebuilding. Number three is what? They are living in luxury while God's house is in ruins. Hello? You look at this church. Does it look like it's in ruins? On this stage, you have £500,000 of equipment. Does it look like we are in ruins? Pastor, so what are you talking about? What are you talking about, Pastor? You have church service in one of the most iconic facilities in the world. You get cookies and coffee for free after the service. You don't get nothing for free in this world. You don't have to pay a cent to come in this place. Free access every Sunday. But you see, our perspective of, we don't understand what God sees as ruins. You see, the dictionary says the following. Ruins means the downfall or the decay or destruction of anything. The downfall or the decay, it means a person as the wreck of its former self. Now let me explain this to you. You got born again. You got filled with the Holy Spirit. God touched your life. You were excited. Man, we couldn't get you away from church stuff. You were at prayer meeting. You're the first, you're the last to go. You are at home cell every week. You're the first, you're last to go. You brought people. You led people to the Lord. You baptized them. You are involved everywhere. You were so involved that we looked at you and say, wow, the next Billy Graham, the next Christian Cain. Wow, God, what a gift to the body. You were just on fire. Then a year later, 6 months later, 2 years later, we find you not involved anymore. You're not giving as you should. You're not serving as you should. You are in ruins because you are a wreck of your former self. You see, you have to understand that the New Testament says that you are the temple of God. And if you started off this way, but 3 years later, you are a wreck of that, what we saw. Wow, on fire, history maker and a world shaker, but now we can't even shake you to get you off your couch to come to church. You are in ruins. You are in downfall. And then we find you on holiday after holiday, which we agree you should have, buying property after property, which we want you to have, driving a new car after a new car, which we want you to have, living in extreme luxury, which God wants you to have, but no time for God's house, no building of God's house, no prayer in God's house, no serving in God's house, no financial support to God's house, but you are fine. No, you are in ruins. You're a wreck of your own old self. Ruins means the act of causing destruction or a downfall. Friends, you have to understand your prayerlessness, your giving, your less giving, your less involvement, your less reaching out, your less taking care of the new disciples, your less disciple making. It's all actions that's going to lead to your downfall. Amen. Some of you are sitting here on a Sunday. You've never led somebody to Jesus. You're not inviting people. You're not giving to the vision of God's work. You're not serving in the house of God. And you sit and you think, but everything is okay. Now this message is for you. Your life is in ruins. You're a wreck of your former self. The next thing about ruins is something that leads to bankruptcy. There is stuff in heaven that gives you a great bank account in heaven. Amen. Some of you are bankrupt when it comes to the things in heaven. Amen. And you can sit here and you can think, but Pastor, we had 2,500 people saved in the last 12 months. Everything going for us, planting churches, establishing new camps. What do you mean, Pastor Tobo? What do you mean we are in ruins? No, we just don't take care of the 2,500 as we used to. We're not making disciples as we used to. We're not serving as we used to. We're not giving as we used to. We're not involved as we used to. Am I talking to somebody? You see, a place is in ruins when something is in a downfall from its former self, when something or someone is a wreck of its former self. You see, the people had become more concerned with building beautiful houses and beautiful lives for themselves than building the house of God. And then God had to wake them up. The Lord had to speak to them through His prophet, through His men, so that He can stir them to again put their focus back to return to Him and building His house. You are in ruins when you come to church serving God, doing great things. Then you get a wife, and then you guys, you know, you were serving both on this level. Now you are serving on this level because you're now so involved suddenly with your work and everything. So and then you couldn't get a child. You were barren. Both of you were barren. You tried everything. You couldn't get a child. And then you come to Pastor Tabu in the church and we prayed for you. And suddenly, miraculously, you fell pregnant. Now you have a beautiful baby. And now you can only serve one service because you have a child. And you can't go to prayer meeting because you have a child. And you can't go to home cell because you have a child. Hello, I've got five. I've got five under nine. I have not missed a beat. Doing more today than I did before they came. You see, I never allowed them to become my God. They fit into my world. I don't fit into their world. I don't use my kids as a scapegoat not to do what God called me to do. This is an encouraging message. Haggai was an encourager. You see, the problem we have with encouragement is we don't, as the people of God, understand what God sees us as encouragement. God doesn't see encouragement for you to get a goosebump and a feeling better of yourself, and then you stay in disobedience and you stay in a wicked lifestyle. God sees encouragement when a man of God comes into your life, stirs you to get back to Jesus, back to the house of God. That God sees as encouragement for you to sort out your life and do what God has called you to do. Not to get to a church service where they constantly tell you how wonderful you are and you're the best, next best, the best gift to this world and God loves you and you can do nothing wrong. Be careful. Because you smooth the flesh and it doesn't move you to give 150% for Jesus. So God speaks to His people. He says, take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. You might sit here today and you say, Pastor, but I'm building. I'm not talking about building. I'm talking about rebuilding. I'm talking about refocus. There's a season in life where we build, where things procrastinate. Then we have to refocus. And then we need to readjust our hearts in line with God's mind, and then we have to build like never before again. You find that pattern right through the Bible when it comes to God's people. Take a good, hard look at your life, CRC. Think it over. God spoke to his people twice. Again, he said, take a good, hard look at your life. I, as your pastor, are taking a good, hard look at my life. I've been taking a good, hard look at some of you. I see you in church, 5-4 services. I see you praise and worship. Like, you know that the dust is like all around you, like a cloud. You jump higher than the highest deer. Then I look at your lives and I see no advance in other areas like finances. And I said to God, what's going on over here? I said, Lord, what's going on, Lord? He says, yeah. He says to me the following, my wife just said it as well. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from it. And every time pastor preach, you get offended, you get angry. You want to jump ship. So the Bible says in the last days they will create for themselves places where they want to go, where the itching ears get tickled. Where nobody check them for their discipleship, nobody check how they give, nobody to disciple them. They can just do what they want. They can just serve how they want, when they want. And that's where most people that are immature, they want to go there because I want Jesus. I don't want to go to hell, but I still want to sleep around. I want to do God's will, but I don't want to pay the price. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to go up the mountain. I don't want to build. I looked at people's lives and I find they keep filling their plates, but they never have enough. They work 3-4 shifts extra a week, but then yet they don't have prosperity in other areas financially. They drink and drink and stay thirsty. Put on layer and layer, but never have enough. And God said again, take a good hard look at your life and think it over. When God said that to his people over here, listen, and I can feel it here, it's an encouraging message. So slap a smile on your face. It's not end of the world. The next moment God said, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. God's never going to leave you empty-handed. When God corrects you, he's going to immediately give you a way out. He says, this is what I want you to do. Climb to the hill. Cut the timber and bring it down. There has to be sacrificial servanthood, sacrificial giving, sacrificial serving. Amen. Climb up the mountain, cut the wood, take your axe, cut the wood, bring the logs down, build my house. Then he says, bring it down and rebuild my temple. Focus your building on my house first. I know you want to build a great business. Build my house first. I want you to have a great business and businesses, but build my house first. Keep that your focus. Then he says, do it just for me. Focus on Jesus. Honoring me. Through all this, what I just shared with you, you will honor him. Now, the solution of the problem of this interest is the following, twofold. The people first needed to realize that they are fruitless. You might be here today and you have a disinterest heart in the things of God. The solution to the problem is the following. You have to realize that you're fruitless. Friends, before you can realize that you are a sinner, if you can't realize that you are a sinner, God can't save you. Even though Jesus died on the cross, if you don't realize that, number one, God loves you and you are in need of Jesus, you can't get saved. I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink. If you have a heart that is disinterested, or a member of that has a heart that's not focusing on building God's house, the number one thing is to understand that you are fruitless. The moment somebody points out that there's no fruit in your life, any member in this church, has any pastor at any time once sat you down and said, "Where's your fruit? Put up your hand." Has anybody sat you down and said, "Where's your fruit? Put up your hand. Look at the hands." That is a gift from God. Amen. That's a solution. Amen. It is not a discouragement. Amen. It is an encouragement. Realize that you are fruitless. Okay, cool. I see it now. Okay, I'm going to fix it. Okay, cool. Now God's going to give you the way how to fix it. The number one thing is the people had to see that they were fruitless. Amen. Are you with me? And the reason was because they turned from building God's house to building their own houses. The second solution of problem number one is the following. The people had to return to build with sacrificial building and giving. So this interest heart can only be resolved when we realize we are fruitless and we return with sacrificial building and sacrificial giving. We pay the price. Amen. In family, it is all about honoring God, Jesus, and His church. When Jesus built His church, it is a sacrificial building. He started building this thing with a sacrifice. Amen. He's going to finish it with sacrificial building. Amen. That keeps our focus on Him, His church, and His ways. Now look at this. In Haggai 1:12, it says, "Then the governor Zerubbabel and the high priest Joshua and all the people listened," and they really listened, "to the voice of their God." When God sent the prophet Haggai to them, they paid attention to him. In listening to Haggai, they honored God. Amen. If you are here today and you listen to Tabu, because I have not found the Holy Spirit speaking to the people. I found Haggai speaking to the people. But the Bible says that they were listening to God. And by honoring God, they listened to the man of God in their lives. And if you are here today and you say, "I want to honor God," then I want you to listen to what God is saying through me to you. Take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. Then Haggai, God's messenger, preached God's message to the people. "I am with you," God's word. This is how God got Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the people moving, got them working on the temple of God, and all the people of the temple of God, of the angels' armies. This happened in the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of King Darius. What made the difference to get the people back to interest into the house of God? Number one, they listened, and they really listened to the voice of their God. Number two, they listened to Haggai, and they honored God by listening to the words coming from the pulpit. Haggai preached God's word, and God told them, "Listen, I am among you. I know your hearts. I know when your heart is not in line with my mind. I know when you tell everybody that you are in love with COC and you are in love with Jesus, but nobody sees your time. Nobody sees that you are here building. You tell nobody about Jesus and about your church and about what God is doing." The problem of number two was the following: discouragement. Friends, we all go through discouragement. But the main cause of the discouragement over here was the older people that became uninvolved and discouraged. And that uninvolvement and discouragement moved from the older people to the younger people. I've said it for so long, for especially you guys there on the balcony, and especially those who are saved for a few years, or especially those that are with me still. Your uninvolvement will lead to discouragement, and that uninvolvement and discouragement will lead to the spread to the younger people, where they will become just like you. Instead, you and I need to be the mothers and the fathers, nurturing people, helping them, being more excited about God than ever. Some of you are with me for many years. Do I look less excited about God and His church than the first time you met me? But why are some of you not involved? Because you've got a child? Excuse me. Let this pastor help you. That child is not your God. It's a gift from God. The solution for the second problem of discouragement is also twofold. It's amazing how God says to them, look at yourself twice, and then He gives them a solution for every problem, two solutions. Number one, look at God's recipe for discouragement. Put it up. Anybody discouraged here today? You can put up your hand. I feel many times discouraged. I just went through a season of discouragement. It's amazing how the word of the Lord will speak to your pastor first. Look at what God is saying. He says, get to work, Zerubbabel. God is speaking. Get to work, Joshua, high priest. Get to work, all you people. God is speaking. Yes, get to work. For I am with you. The God of the angels' armies is speaking. Put into action the word I coveted with you when you left Egypt. I am living and breathing among you right now. Don't be timid. Don't hold back. Come on. What is the antidote for discouragement? Get to work, Pastor Nene. Pastor, I feel so discouraged. Get to work, Pastor Eddie. Oh, Pastor, get to work, all you people. I am with you. And get into the action which I got you out of sin. I told you, come out of sin, be my disciple, and go make disciples. You are in a covenant with God, a divine calling. He says, get to action to what I called you to do. I didn't call you to be a pew warmer. I didn't call you to sit here on a Sunday. I called you to be a disciple maker. Get to action. The reason why you are discouraged is because you are not working. You are sitting. Get to the covenant I made with you when I took you out of the world. Then He says to them over here, do you see it over here? I am among you. Last two Sundays at our Mercy services, your pastor didn't preach one word. I couldn't. The presence and the glory of God filled this place that I couldn't get one word. All I could do was made an altar call and we got over 50 people saved without the word of preaching. Amen. Right. If you can't see that God is among you, I don't know what will ever show you that God is among you. Amen. Get to work. Then He says, do not be timid, meaning do not have a character of fear. Amen. You see, when you have a character of fear, fear to get involved, fear to give, fear to do this, then you hold back. Yep. When you hold back, you are classified as stingy. Yeah. Period, full stop. You are classified because the people hold back. They hold back their sacrifices, they hold back their prayer, they hold back their financial giving, they hold back their servant, they hold back their building. And God says, okay, I'm going to meet your tight-fistedness and your stinginess with drought. Don't be characterized by fear. You lie, your life should be characterized by faith. And remember, fear will always get you to hold back, hold back, hold back. God will always tell you, step out in faith. Get out of the boat. Trust me more. Trust me for a new house. Trust me for a new building. Trust me for a greater home sale. Trust me for your family to get saved. Trust me for your colleagues to be saved. Just step out. Step out. Trust me. Haggai 2:9, God gives the second solution to discouragement. This temple is going to end up far better than it started out. Amen. Right, amen. the glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish. A place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness. Decree. You see, the solution for the discouraged hearts is the following. You are not building just for today. You are building for generations to come. You are building a place where people will receive wholeness and holiness. Where people can come back to God, get born again, reconnecting with God, living life for God. And they are living not just that, but in holiness. The third problem God finds in His people is dissatisfaction. They were dissatisfied with the place. You know, I've been coming to CRC for, 10 years, and the place just doesn't feel the same. I don't get what I used to get. Don't get me wrong. I love Pastor Talbot. I always loved him, but it's becoming a little bit too much for me now. I just feel God is moving me on. If you are satisfied with a place, you always come back to that place. God is not moving you on. You are dissatisfied. You are discouraged. And it's all started because you were disinterested with God and building His house. And the devil tells you all the other excuses which you can blame. You blame the church, you blame Pastor Tabu, you blame the leadership, you blame everybody else, but you are in sin. You see, and that's what sin does. The moment sin came into Adam and Eve's life, Eve blamed Adam, and Adam blamed God. Yeah. Yeah. So you always find leadership and God to blame. But today's church, we don't blame God. We blame the men of God. We blame the church. We blame this. I enjoyed the music so much in the beginning, but it's now so loud. Hello? Hello? You see, this is how God resolved the thing. He came to Haggai and He said to them, go to the priests. And He asked the priest this question. He says, listen, when a clean thing touches an unclean thing, what does it make? This is unclean. He says, when an unclean thing touches a holy thing, what happens? He says, the holy thing becomes unclean. Now stay with me. The problem with the people's dissatisfaction was caused through something else. You see, as the people started to build again, they expected change immediately. God is speaking to me today, and I'm going to start giving. God spoke to me a while ago. I gave for the last 2 months, but you haven't seen the victory yet. You don't see the fruit yet, but you've been not doing what you should do now for 5 years, 3 years. But you want God to come through for you now. I have fixed my life now, so God has to come now, and God needs to provide now, and God needs to give me this business now, and then you don't see it. Friends, you don't see it in the next maybe a year, and then you get dissatisfied. Pastor, I did exactly what you told me to do. I gave my tithe, I got involved, but nothing has changed. So something's wrong here. Now, something's wrong with your mindset. Don't expect God to fix your neglect of years in a moment. Yes, God's the miracle maker, and God can sovereignly do it. But there are certain things in the house of God and in the kingdom of God where you're going to have to work through everything and learn to make good choices, stay in principle, stay in the house of God, be obedient to the things of God, and that's how God's going to move you into a place of victory and satisfaction, that I've applied the principles and God has come through for me. Are you still with me? As the people were working on the building, they expect an immediate reversal of all the years of inactivity. You see, the priest responded with the unclean, clean thing and says the following. Uncleanness is infectious. Holiness is not. Church, you have to listen to me. Bible says bad company corrupts good habits. You come into the house of God, you want to live right, you want to live correctly, but you have church friends that lives one foot in the world, one foot in the church. They still go out clubbing and all these things, and they say to you, but you know, what's wrong with that? You see, that is infectious. The problem that we have today is the house of God is a holy place. The Bible says, pursue holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And in the same verse, he says, pursue holiness, for without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And unless one will fall short of grace. How can you fall short of grace? That's a message for another time. How can God say to you and I to pursue holiness? Because many people in the church today ain't pursuing wholeness or holiness. And God says, when I'm in a place and it's my house, it will bring forth wholeness and holiness. Holiness is not, unfortunately, attractive to many people. Uncleanness is infectious. You play with it, you become like it. That's the real problem. Too many of us are playing with certain things and think, it's just a game. Ain't a game. Let me tell you here today. God doesn't leave his people there. The second solution of dissatisfaction, look at this, what God is saying. I'm giving you a promise now while the seed is still in the barn. Verse 19. You have not yet harvested your grain. And your grapefruit, your fig trees, your pomegranates, and all olive trees have not yet produced their crops. But from this day onward, I will bless you. You see, when God speaks to you in this way, and you say, yes, Lord, forgive me, Lord. I'm making it right, Lord. I'm coming back. God says, I give you my promise. From this day, I am going to bless you. You have not even sown, but your heart is right. And I know that you're going to perform it. So I am now starting the blessing, the process of blessing in your life. Family, you should not allow any difficulties, any child, any work situation, anything that you're going through, stop you from turning back to God and to turning to rebuild the house of God. It is your divine responsibility to build the house of God. God has called you out of Egypt and then command you to go make disciples. It is a divine calling that you will be held accountable for, that you need to respond to. And that calling is to keep the house of God and God Himself as the main focus of your life. What God has done in our lives, the promise of His Spirit in this place, through the Holy Spirit in this church, should encourage you and I to fulfill our divine commission. The prophet Haggai demonstrates the necessity of teamwork to accomplish that commission. And the message of the prophet Haggai compels us, number one, compels us, the people of God, to make the work of our God the priority in our lives with serving time and money. When you are God's here today, it will compel you to once again prioritize God's house by giving Him your time, your service, and your money. The message of Haggai compelled God's people to understand the essence of God's Spirit and presence in a place. Without Him, we can do nothing. But when He is among us and you can feel His presence, then you and I should be encouraged above all things to fulfill our divine calling. The message will compel us to choose and believe that when we turn from our selfish lifestyles and ambitions and refocus on our Lord's house, He will bless us towards this end. Pastor Eugene, if you're going to repent today, turn to God, and you're going to do it 10%, He's going to bless you to that end. Because I know that God is speaking to our hearts here today. I know it. Because God spoke to me. And I know what is His heart and His mind. And I know what's the heart of people, because you can see that in the actions and what's coming out of their mouths. But if God has spoken to you today and you say, yes, I'm going to return, I'm going to fix it, know that God's going to bless you. But if you're going to commit to a 5% return, He's going to meet you at that 5%.
That's right.
Yes. But if you're going to say, I'm going to throw myself 150% in this thing, God is going to bless you over and abundantly. In the next couple of months and years, you will see God's faithfulness if you put back your focus to God's house and God's church. And I want to encourage you here today. Be encouraged that God is in and among us. But God wants us to refocus our focus to home, to Him, and to build His house. To rebuild. What got us here ain't gonna get us there. Some of it will take us further because it's basic principles, but we have to rethink, refocus, replan, regroup, and we have to move. Because I pray, and I know that this message, that's how God moves His people. And I pray that today your heart will be moved to just refocus to Jesus and to honor Him by building His house, to give your best to His house. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that You love and care about us. We give You all the glory and all the praise. I thank You for Your presence here, Holy Spirit. Thank You that You are here to lift us higher. That You always come and correct us, lead us. The Holy Spirit, You said, will be in our lives to lead us into all truth, to be our advocate, to encourage us. And today I pray that Your word will take root in our hearts. That we will see what You see, hear what You want us to hear, understand what You want us to understand. But ultimately to leave this place with a fire in our bellies, to again focus on Your house and honoring You as our God. To fulfill our divine calling as Your church, to go out and to make disciples. To preach the gospel to a dying world. Thank You that You send us. Thank You that You have faith in us. Thank You for this church, for every member, for every person that comes. We honor You and we love You, and we ask You one more time to use us for Your glory. Lead us like never before, Holy Spirit. You might be here today for the very first time. You might be coming for a while. But as I preach, you realize that your life is not right with God. Maybe you are here and you've never heard the gospel. You've never heard that God loves you. That 2,000 years ago, He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins and your sin. So that today you can have the opportunity to choose eternal life. That Jesus came to pay the price for you and me, so that we can have eternal life, a relationship with God, and live forever. Jesus came to give you the assurance of eternal life. Maybe you're here today and you're just honest. You say, Thabo, I've never heard that God loves me. Maybe you're here today and you're just honest and say, but I don't have the assurance of eternal life. I know my life is not right with God. Well, I want to tell you, you are here today because God wanted you to hear this message, and God is calling out to you, and God is saying, come, I want you. I want you as the lover of my soul. I'm reaching out to you. The Bible says the whole heaven is right now shouting out your name so that you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and receive eternal life. And if it's you that I'm talking about, you might be in the balcony, in the back, and even in the front, while all eyes closed and heads about, and you say, Thabo, that's me. I can hear God tucking on my heart. I want to be included in this prayer. Then I ask you, can I please pray for you? Quietly, wherever you are, just slip up your hand. Just say, Tabu, here I am. I want to be included in this prayer and I'm going to pray for you.
So, you know what? You don't have to feel ashamed about nothing. God loves you so much that above everything, this is the most important moment of your whole entire life. Right now, I want to tell you that no man can get you to make this decision. The Bible is very clear. It's only God that can get you to respond to His call. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. But you have to commit. Just believe. God loves me. I'm giving my life to Him. Everything is going to change. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer where you just close your eyes. Pray this out loudly, because the Bible says we have to confess. Bible's very clear that we need to speak it out. So I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer right now. Put your hand on your heart. Pray this with me. Everybody else, stretch out to them. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today. Ask for your forgiveness. I receive it as well. Thank you, Father, that I know that you love me. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son, that He came to die for me so that I can have life. I receive eternal life today. Thank you for choosing me, for loving me. Use me in your church for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.